celebrated. In fact, every week on Sunday, we celebrate the risen Savior. Amen? But yet, last week, we celebrated Easter, and it was the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He arose from the grave. I don't know about you, but maybe you've watched a series or you've read a book where it left you hanging, and you're going, what happened next? And I want to read the next chapter, or I want to wait till next week and watch the next series of that. You ever been there? Today's message is entitled, What Happens Next? And How Shall We Live? When Jesus arose from the grave, He spent 40 days out and about among people. And then He ascended into heaven. Over 500 people witnessed at the same time. And yes, those Roman guards knew as well what had taken place. And while they were going beyond, some of the guard went into the city and they told the chief priest all the things that had taken place, and they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel and gave them a sufficient amount of money to the soldiers and said, go lie. Basically, that's what it said. Go tell the people, the disciples came by night and stole him away, and we were asleep. Well, that would be kind of hard to believe, because soldiers in that time, if you lost someone, they took your life. They did not give you a large sum of money. They killed you. You lost your life because you lost somebody. So that would have been hard to believe as well, but that's what happened. They gave him a large amount of money. And if this comes to the governor's ears, it will satisfy him and you'll keep out of trouble. So they took the money and they did as they directed, and the story has been spread among the Jews until this day. It was the first probably government cover-up. It was what some of the news media would say, it was a paid-off scandal, if they would report that. I wonder, though, if those guards became early converts in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It had to rattle your day to experience what took place. If you would, turn this morning to Acts chapter 1. We're going to look at these questions. What happens next, and how shall we live? Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together and asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Verse 7, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is coming to you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Father in heaven, as we assemble here together, let us focus upon you. May your humble servant today be used to proclaim your words, and that you are glorified and honored, and that people are drawn to know you personally, to know you better, to know you as Savior. And today, Lord, we ask for your power to be poured out in this place. May God, we experience your presence. And may we draw close to you and gaze upon your face. In Jesus' name, amen. Right now, you and I are living in the last days. What happens next? Just as Scripture said, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Over 500 people witnessed that. So we say, okay, 500 people can't hallucinate this at the same time and have the same exact story. So these are facts. These are things that are infallible. So then we look to Scripture and we find out what happens next. Acts chapter 2. Again, all of us are living in the last days. We don't know the seasons or the times, but we know that we are living currently in the last days. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It was said of a man that he prayed a long and eloquent prayer. And everybody marveled at it. But it was memorized and it had no heart meaning. Whereas another man was in trouble and he said, help me, Lord. And God heard his prayer. It's the condition of our heart, where we are. We call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. It shall come to pass in the last days. This will happen. You will hear folks say, they've said that for years. On and on and on. I've heard that for years. Well, let me draw you back to another time that they said that same very thing. Noah, he preached for 120 years. Same thing. Same thing, over and over and over. And people mocked him. People just made fun of him all means. It's never rained. It ain't going to flood the earth. What do we need to be saved from? And all of a sudden, God says, Noah, get those who believe in the boat. Get those in the ark. And God shut the door. Now get that. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And the people that kept mocking him and saying, why did he go in and shut the door? He didn't shut the door. God shut the door. And all of a sudden, there's drops coming out of the sky. And it began to sprinkle rain. Whatever God says he will do, he will do. His word is his word. Years of mocking, and then it happened. The rapture of the church will happen. That's not the building. That's the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ will be raptured. That's what comes next. God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. He promised that. And I believe he's doing that today. Look, if you would, at Joel in the Old Testament. Joel chapter 2. You heard us read Acts chapter 2 there just a moment ago. Now let's look at Joel chapter 2 and look at verse 28. See if God's word is God's word that you can rely on. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Does that sound familiar? God is telling us what comes next. Peter is connecting Joel's prophecy here to what we're experiencing in the day that we're in. Peter experienced it at the day of Pentecost, where God poured out His Spirit. Today, all around us, there are amazing facts of exactly what God has said in Scriptures about the last days. Excuse me. He wants us to take note and listen and obey Him. In Revelation chapter 2, if you would. Revelation chapter 2. He tells us there that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Listen up. Listen up, awaken. Listen what God is pouring out, what God is saying. Christ will remove all born-again believers from the earth in an event known as the rapture. Scripture tells us that. At the judgment seat of Christ, these believers will be rewarded for good works and faithful service during their time here on earth. The lack of service also will be rewarded negatively. God is preparing you and I for that day. You will hear wars and rumors of wars. You will see it, but don't be alarmed. Such things will happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Just this past week, New York was shaken with an earthquake. All these things are the beginning of birth pains, the Bible says. An increased false messiahs, an increasement of warfare, an increasement of famines and plagues and natural disasters. These are the signs of the end times, the last days. In this passage, though, we're given a warning. We're not to be deceived, because this is just the beginning. God has spoken what's coming next. Is there an increase of attacks on the nation of Israel as we speak? Is there an increased political upheaval going on today? Is there more false teaching? Is there more people falling away from their faith and falling away from church? God is speaking to us His plans and showing us His wonders, His powers, His sovereignty, and His glory. Will the sun be turned into darkness? Somebody said tomorrow. Well, if that be the day, are you ready? Because it's a question you better ask yourself. Every day that you wake up and you have breath or you can put your boots on is a day that you're blessed. And you should make it count for the glory of God. And be ready and be prepared. God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Many souls are being saved now. Our part is to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as we witness all the evil and the turning away from God, there are many that's placing their faith in God. So you see that great divide happening, that a lot of people and a lot of things are happening. It's almost like Satan is sensing that his last days is coming to a close. And he's fighting with all of his power. But God and the Holy Spirit is pouring out. People are getting saved and coming right with God. What happens next? The rapture of the church. Christ comes in the clouds to snatch away all those who trust in him. At this same time, the dead in Christ will be resurrected and taken up to heaven. From the perspective I have, the next event in the eschatological timeline is the church will be caught up. The rapture is imminent. No other biblical prophecy needs to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church. Did you hear me, church? There's no other prophecy needs to be fulfilled for this next event to happen. Okay? Shows today on media are beginning to desensitize people to what's coming next. A show called Vanished, where people just vanish. Sound like the rapture? Without a trace. I don't know. They were here, but now they're gone. Missing persons, last seen alive. All these entertainments is desensitizing people to what's coming next. What's coming next? Let's get ready. Let's stay ready. Let's be observant to what God has in store for us to do now. Let's be ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us, in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, in the last trump, for the trump shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Praise be to God. We shall be changed. Amen. How many of you, when you set up a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment, you just get all excited about that day and you look forward to it? You're like, Friday, next Friday, I get to go to the dentist. Woohoo! You're excited, right? I'll tell you one of my phobias. I'll just be honest with you. When my doctor calls and says, we need you to have come in and take a blood test, my anxiety skyrockets. I try to put things out of my mind and keep busy and do everything because I'm known as POP, okay, when it comes to giving blood. POP stands for pass out preacher. I go in, they say, we're going to take blood. I say, I need that chair right over there that lays back. And they accommodate me very well. My anxiety level goes up and I try to keep my mind away from going to the doctor or to the dentist. I don't know about you, but I don't look forward to those days. You might be facing surgery and you don't look forward to those things or treatments. Let's just go to the opposite side of that. What about that special event? What about that special event that you have been longing to go see, an event or something? Or vacation. Whoo! 2 more days in vacation. 4 more days in vacation. You look forward to that, don't you? You make plans. You make preparations. You begin to think about all those things that you got to do. You make the plans. Where we're going to stay, what meals are we going to have, how we're going to get there, how long will it take us to get there? Because the kids will always ask, are we there yet? And then you just keep on and on and on thinking about that trip or that event. You even talk to others about that event. You look forward to it, right? Make those plans. Let me just ask you, Are you looking forward to that day when you see your face, see your Savior face to face? He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. You see, the only plan that you have to make is trusting in Him. That's all you have to do. Is trust and believe in Him. You don't have to pack no luggage. You don't have to plan out meals. You don't have to do any of that. Trust and believe in Him. Have you done that? If you've done that and you've trusted the Lord Jesus, you confessed Him as Lord and Savior, you believe in what He did upon the cross, He's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's your reservation. That where He is, you're going to be also. Are you ready for that day? I pray you are. If you're not, today can be that day that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're ready. But until that day, are you living for Him? Because the Bible tells us that we should live each day for His glory. How should I live? I know what's going to happen next. How should I live now? By no means is this exhaustive. We should pray, keep that conversation. We should make gospel conversations with other people. We should fellowship with each other, read God's Word daily. But one thing that came to mind, actually two things came to mind, how shall we live, is we should be awake. We should be awake and prepared. And when I talked about the vacation, you look forward to that. You look forward to seeing the Lord Jesus that you're awake and aware of. He could come anytime. Lost people, unsaved people, will be caught off guard. They won't know what's going on. But I wonder about Christians. Those that proclaim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you've confessed Him, that you've been baptized, and you say, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ. I wonder in that day, would you be doing things that you wouldn't be ready? As you're doing things and you say, I sure hope you don't come now. Or would you be glad where you are? I heard a pastor say one time, I hope that I'm in the church sharing God's Word when the rapture comes. I don't know when. I just want to serve Him every day, being ready to serve Him. Be awake and be prepared. Matthew chapter 24, please. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 42. Matthew 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, and giveth them meat in due season. Blessed is the servant from whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Let us be doing what God has called us and instructed us to do. Be awake, be looking, and sharing. Following Christ, being faithful, being awake, being sensitive to his leading. Are you saved? Are you saved and are you fully serving God? Are you ready? In that day, there'll be no turning away. It's coming. We're in the last days. Are you prepared before God? He loves you supremely. He desires to have a personal relationship with you. He does not want you to be playing religion. He does not want you to be playing church. He wants you to be the church and be in a personal, up-close relationship with him, ongoing walking and talking with him, looking forward to that day, bragging about him wherever you go, whatever chance you get, engaging in conversations about him. Are you ready? Father in heaven, as we come to this time of decisions, it is our prayer, Lord, that your Holy Spirit just move in the hearts of all of us this morning. That God, that we will search our hearts. And as we search, we'll listen to what you sayeth to us. You said, if we have an ear to hear, let us hear. And Lord, your Spirit is speaking. I pray, Lord, today, anyone who's lost and unsaved, that today is a day that they will confess you as their Lord and Savior. Pray today, Lord, that as Christians has found their way off track, today is a day that they will repent and restore that relationship with you. Pray that, God, that you would just bless this very time. There are things that trouble our hearts, God, and we just need to humble ourselves and pray. Let us not be hesitant about coming to an altar and praying and asking you and talking to you. Let us be humble. God bless this time. We desire to experience your Holy Spirit being poured out in this place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.